this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. I love that. Don't you love that? Greater is the one who's living in me than he who's living in the world. Thanks for tuning in to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Glad to have you along today. And if you just tuned in, you missed our first hour discussion with Jed Hatmaker talking about radical Christian faith, about loving the least of these. You got to listen to that podcast if you missed it. It's at myfaithradio.com. Excited about Hour 2 because we love to talk to Jennifer Kennedy Dean. She, to me, is a powerhouse. She unpacks scripture so beautifully, has a passion for prayer. She's got a brand new book out titled Live a Praying Life in Adversity. Live a Praying Life in Adversity. Why you keep praying when you want to give up. So maybe you feel like you've been praying and pressing in and praying and there's just been no breakthrough, like you're banging your head on the wall. Well, you tuned in at the right time. Glad you're here today. I really believe you're going to find some deep encouragement today, and you'll be encouraged to continue on because God moves on our prayers. It matters that we pray. Let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Jennifer Kennedy Dean is Executive Director of the Praying Life Foundation and a respected author and speaker. Her book, Heart's Cry, is a primary resource for National Day of Prayer. And her book, Live a Praying Life, has been called a flagship work on prayer. She was widowed in 2005 after 26 years of marriage to Wayne Dean, her partner both in life and ministry. They are the parents of three grown sons, and you can find her author page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Jennifer, welcome back to the program. It's been too long.
Thank you, Susie. It is always fun to be with you.
Well, I would love to ask you this because I love how you love God's Word. You know this drill. We love to open up our conversations talking Scripture, wondering if there's a passage that God's just been speaking about these days.
Isn't it interesting the way he speaks the same, you know, he can speak the same word over and over, and at a new season in your life, it says a new thing. Mm-hmm. And I just keep falling back on that Jeremiah 33:3. When you call to me, I'm going to tell you things you didn't know before. And of course, I'm not quoting it. It says, call to me and I will tell you great and mighty things you did not know. But that just continues to be so true in my experience that as we call out to him and open our lives to him, we're not telling him new things. He's telling us new things. And it just changes our perspective of how we're dealing with what we're dealing with. So he just keeps hammering that home in my life year after year, and it keeps being fresh as if I've never heard it before. Mm,
I love that about God's Word. It's living and active.
Yes.
Jennifer, tell us, just give us an example, if you would, about how that has become a reality just recently, how God is telling you things you did not know. How does that play out? If someone's listening today going, how does that work? Give us an example of how it's played out in your life.
Yeah, you know, and especially as we're talking about how to live a praying life in adversity, the thing that God does that's so transforming is not follow our instructions or jump to our orders, but cause us to see things in dimensions and ways we had not seen them before. Cause us to have perspective and understanding that will not come by just thinking hard. Mm. It comes from the direct work of the Holy Spirit on your mind and understanding, and you just begin to see your situation with through a different grid, see different nuances, see things in ways you were not able to see it before, and that never fails. I am never, Susie, as you know, I'm just never going to give a formula. Say this, put it in this order, package it between Dear God and Amen, and everything will be like you thought it would be. Hmm. That is not going to happen, but this is going to happen. When you, through prayer, open your heart and mind to that direct deposit of the Holy Spirit into your understanding, you are going to see things in a new, fresh way, and so you're going to respond to them differently, and you're going to walk them out differently, and you're going to see God do things you had not imagined.
And that's what's just absolutely so amazing. You can be just bucking up against an issue, a question, a perspective, and then you get with God. Instead of maybe asking questions that constantly cause you despair and disappointment, you open your hands and say, okay, help me understand here, Lord. I want to find your perspective in this. And you wait on him and you read his word. He will bring a perspective to you. There's been so many times, Jennifer, I've gotten up at prayer time and I thought, that's all I needed to hear. He just made that one statement and pressed something on my heart. And I thought, I can let this go because he's got it. And it's a supernatural thing, isn't it?
That is. And you know, that just, how many times does God say to me just what you said? I've got this.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say, you know, God really doesn't have that many promises in the scripture. They can pretty much always be summed up by this. I've got this. And no matter how many situations over my long life I have found myself in and heard those words and they have brought me relief and release, whatever I'm in today, I've got to hear them again. I can't go by yesterday's. I've got to hear them again. And when his present living voice, by means of his Holy Spirit, says just directly into your heart, not as a theory and not as a theology, but as a reality of this moment, I've got this. It just begins to change the way you're going to respond.
Mm. Well, you've written a number of books, Jennifer. So how did Live a Praying Life in Adversity come to bear in your life? I mean, how did God start to stir in your own spirit that this is the next book you needed to write?
The book Live a Praying Life is my core book. It is my reason for living, and it's the principles that God has worked out in my life since I was 20 years old and continues to work out in my life. But the challenge came as I myself walked out of deep diversity, as I lost my husband, and as I talked to people over the years of things that are going on in lives. And you know, Susie, do you find this in that day of Facebook and Twitter, et cetera, we know so much more about the burdens people are carrying, and sometimes it's almost overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And after my husband passed away, I kept getting this question: well, what do you think about prayer now? How did everything you think work out now? And I said, wow, it worked out just exactly the way the Lord had taught me it was going to. So what I've done in Live a Praying Life in Adversity is take the four basic principles of Live a Praying Life and then apply them directly to when you are walking in a time of adversity. How does it work then? How does it work when the rubber meets the road? And so it's set up as a four-week Bible study, and if I can just interject this, a free bonus content of the book is video. There are QR codes all through the book, and you can just click on those with your smartphone or your tablet and get to some video teaching. But it's divided as a four-week Bible study, but you can certainly do it just on your own also if you're in that situation of living in an adversity.
And we've got a couple copies to give away. If you've got a question about how to stand in prayer, maybe wondering, why don't my prayers work? We welcome your questions right now, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. The phone lines are open. If it's easier to email me at Susie@myfaithradio.com. So, Jennifer, I appreciated so much how you wrote that prayer is not some magic formula that turns God into a genie who makes his wish our wish his command, but you wrote rather, prayer is the conduit through which God's power and provision flow from the heavenly realms to the circumstances of earth. Prayer opens your life to the flow of his power and provision. I want you to hear that again. Listen closely if you can. Prayer is the conduit through which God's power and provision flow from the heavenly realms to your circumstances on earth. Prayer opens your life to the flow of his power and provision. Sometimes I think we see prayer, Jennifer, as this one way, I just got to get it off my chest so I feel better. But it actually activates movement in the heavenly realms. So make, first of all, the distinction between God is not a genie. This is not a name it, claim it, vending thing. But our prayers do activate some action and activity in the spiritual realm.
Yes. You know, here is the thing that for all these 40 years that I have been pursuing an understanding of a praying life, not a prayer life, not packaging words together, but living in this consuming relationship where there is not a moment There's not a nanosecond when your heart and the heart of the Father are not completely connected, and you're walking in this flow of His power and provision. And you begin to move away from, many people come to prayer, and it's okay. If you have come to prayer with this, that's okay. But come to prayer with the idea, here is what needs to happen, so I will pray and talk God into doing this. Now, I've been walking with God for a long time, have a lot left to learn, but I have learned this. God has better ideas than I do. And so many times, because if our expectation of prayer is that is small, and we might think it's a big idea, but it's a small idea. And we kind of have our focus right there. I'm watching for this to happen because this is what I think should happen, and I think it should happen on this timetable in this way. And so we're just watching there. And God is doing a huge move, but we don't see it because we have our vision so narrowly focused. Yet, on the other hand, prayer is utterly powerful. God designed it. He put it into the way the cosmos works together, the way heaven and earth work together. It is essential. It is the force that reaches into the spiritual realm, that grabs hold of all the power and provision of God and moves it into the circumstances of earth. It activates everything God has on your behalf, and your inclination to pray, your thought that maybe prayer would help, what that really is God pulling you into prayer because He has power and provision that He can move into your circumstances through your prayers.
I love that. You know, when I teach on prayer, I often say one of the best things you can do is to, before you pray, is just to pause and remember who it is you're talking to. Mm-hmm. Because we go to Him sometimes so quickly we forget. We, you know, may I make this red light a green light? I'm in a hurry. And, you know, you forget who you're talking to. But I think when you stop and just consider what you've just said, that the, you know, who we're talking to here and the storehouses and His heart for us and His promises and His word so that we can participate in the divine nature. When we go, this is, you know, and God loved us so much, He sent His Son. When you just consider that you've been made an heir, and He invites us into conversation, invites us to prayer. To me, you approach Him, I think, more reverently, more expectantly, but also more open-handedly, don't you think?
Yes. All of those things. That when you look at the thing that has you tied up in knots, and you begin to say, I wonder if Jesus is anxious about this. Hmm. I wonder if Jesus feels at a loss about this. And, of course, no. So as soon as you open it up to Him, for Him to do in it, through it, by it, for it, whatever it is He intends to do, you begin to see the big move of God in your life. And so just as you're saying, when you compare the size of your problem, which looks huge when you're thinking about it in terms of your own ability to fix it, and when you compare that to who you're bringing the problem to, then it takes on a completely different perspective in your life.
Yes, so we're talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean. How can we stand with you today? Maybe you've got a prayer request. We would love to pray with you. Maybe you've got a question about prayer. We'd love to talk with you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. How do you know if you should persevere in prayer? What happens if you keep praying but nothing happens? We're going to answer those questions and more on the other side. Talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean. More with her in just a moment.
I believe that sometimes praying in adversity is as much for us as it is for what we're praying for. Praying changes our perspective and changes how we think and how we feel about things. So sometimes prayer is as much for us as it is for whatever it is that we're praying for.
Wow. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean about praying through adversity. When you keep praying, why you keep praying when you want to give up. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there now. Maybe you're tired in battle. And as this listener said, prayer does change us in the process. We would love to stand with you. We'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Jennifer, you say that prayer is actually God's strategy. Explain that for us.
Yes. When you think about the fact that there is such a thing as prayer, and then you realize there is such a thing as prayer because God designed it so that he would have a way to be completely connected to us. Heart to heart, moment by moment, thought by thought, God could have put everything together in such a way that he just bypasses us. But instead, he engages us. And so prayer is designed by God because he wants it to work. And the caller that on before, it does, it changes us, it changes our perspective, it changes the way we're responding, but it will also change the events. Prayer is meant to change the earth, but quite possibly it will not change the events on the timetable you prescribed in the way you thought it should happen, but prayer changes the earth. That's what it's for. And so a lot of times, as we're talking about the change in perspective, what we can see with the senses of our earth bodies, the things we can perceive and the things we can describe, that is not the whole picture. And many times, as we're praying through adversity, what the circumstances we can see appear not to be changing and might even appear to be getting worse. But there is something going on in an invisible realm. It is powerful and active, and it will show up in the circumstances when everything is right.
When everything is right. That is so key.
Yeah.
So, Jennifer, what does a person do for their soul? How do they strengthen their heart if they've been praying? And as you say, nothing's changed or it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
How can they remind themselves that still things are changing? They just can't see it.
Yeah. You have to know what you can't see. And so you have to nurture. Prayer is not just about whatever adversity has you in its grip right now. It's not just about that. So when you get your whole life focused on what your struggle is, you miss out on all the other things that God is doing. You stay in the Word and you let the living, present voice of the indwelling Holy Spirit speak that Word into your heart. The Scripture says faith comes by hearing, but it doesn't mean hearing with the appendages on the sides of your head. If that were the case, everyone who ever heard would have faith. But faith comes when the living, present Jesus speaks his word directly into your heart. It begins to transform you. You have to not accept and line yourself up and line your emotions up with the lie you're being fed by circumstances. Circumstances are telling you this lie. Nothing's changing. Everything's the same. Prayer isn't working. And there's a lot of empirical evidence to back that up. So you have to know what you can't see, and you have to not align your emotions with the lie. You have to align your emotions with the truth. And for a period of time, you do that sometimes with great difficulty and with great discipline and deliberate effort, and then the day comes when your emotions rest on truth. And it's not such a struggle anymore. And no matter what your eyes see, the eyes of your heart know something altogether different.
Okay, I'm going to repeat these things back because I think they're so important. You have to know what you cannot see. And when you get your whole life focused on your struggle, you miss out on everything God is doing in your life. And there does come a point when you're so acquainted with the truth that your emotions can actually rest on that truth. That is powerful stuff. But that doesn't come from a busy life scratching the surface and giving an occasional thought towards God's perspective on your life. This really comes, you know, Proverbs 9:10 says, knowing the Holy One results in understanding. Make the connection. God moves on prayer, but make the connection between our relationship with God and how he responds to our prayers.
Yes. And, you know, what prayer does is that it it opens your life to what he's doing. And he has so much more to be able to pack into your life and into that circumstance and into that situation than we can possibly imagine. So the more we learn how to walk with our hearts wide open toward him, again, not having our whole lives focused on an adversity. Let me take a little side trip here and say, I know that there are some people listening, there's some people who will be picking up this Bible study, that the kind of adversity you're in seems to absorb your life. It's huge. It's a crisis. It's breaking your heart. I know that. But still, it does not have to define every minute of your day. And one of the things that living a praying life in adversity is going to do is it's going to help you live that life fuller and live that life not completely absorbed by your adversity, because the power of God begins to be manifested in so many other areas of your life. And I think it's important, Susie, when you're really walking through a difficulty, to be sure that you are plugged in with other believers, because sometimes you think you're the only one in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pain everywhere. And you begin to see God move in the lives of others, and you begin to go, I see. God, and just like he's moving in their lives, he's moving in my life. And it's just important to not get poisoned by the pain.
Such a good point. You know, I'm reading in the Old Testament, you see these different kings who did what's evil in the Lord's sight. But, you know, it's amazing to me that any hint of humility, God moves on. You know, it's just absolutely boggles my mind, and how it's like humility is irresistible to him. He will move on our humility. So, and we might even have to carry this answer over to the other side of the break. But I want you just to talk about, because on one hand, he moves. You know, you have somebody who's a hardened criminal, and they humble themselves. God is there, and he moves.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, you read of different great prayers in our church history who had a consistent fellowship with God, and they really did experience consistent answers to prayer. So make the distinction. Does God listen to anybody's prayer, and do you see more consistent answers when the relationship is functions at a much deeper level?
Yes and yes. So that answers
there
that.
You go.
But yes, because that's how God has designed it, that it's to the way prayer works and the way adversity works in our lives, the point is to draw us deeper into him. And the deeper we are connected to his heart, the deeper we are living in obedience to him. See, obedience opens the door for God to just flood your life with blessings. And it's not a matter of obedience, and so now I'm going to reward you. Oh, you were a good girl, so now I'm going to answer your prayer. It's that obedience opens your life. It's obedience makes the room for God to flood you with the blessings that he wants to flood you with. And why does he make such a big old deal of obedience? Because it gets your life in that position where God can flood you with what he has. He is eager to do that. He is not withholding. He's not stingy. He wants to get everything he's got packed into your life, and obedience and walking with him and listening to him and being responsive to him, that makes your life open to what he's got.
Such a good point. I mean, there might be somebody listening today who's been praying where they feel like they're banging their head on the wall, and yet maybe they've not taken the next step God is asking. And that obedience is such a significant part of the fellowship, of the relationship, and even a connection to what you're praying for. Maybe that's you. Take that next step. Obey. Do what he says. Talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean. More on prayer when we come back. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. You're a little quiet this second hour. I want to hear from you. 877-933-2484.
It's especially important to pray at times of adversity, because it keeps you grounded and knowing that you are taken care of.
talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Hour 2 of Live the Promise. We're talking about praying our way through adversity. And Jennifer, you said something that I can't leave. I have to revisit. You say when we get our whole lives focused on our struggle, we miss the best of what God is doing. I've been there. I know our listeners have been there. No strangers to trials and hardships. And so give just, I know you're not a woman of formulas, which I appreciate so much, but just even some advice for that person who all they know is their struggle. That's all they've been able to talk about. That's if people were to say, what's on her mind? What's on his mind? Well, their struggle. And yeah. So what are just some, just what's some advice for them stepping back, remembering who they are, whose they are, to kind of a reset perspective?
Yeah. And I think that is the first thing, is to recognize that this is what has happened to you. No matter how difficult your adversity might be, you say to yourself, oh, look, I realize that I have given my whole life over to this adversity. So let me take a step back and get another perspective. And for me, again, one of the best ways to do that is to be involved in the lives of other people. Mm. You know, we just get so wrapped up in ourselves. And adversity comes at different levels. You know, some people might be in crisis mode, and other people might just have like a low-level, ongoing pain in the background. But adversity is adversity, and it can suck us in. So first of all, I'm going to say recognize that that's what happened, that what has happened to you. Recognize that you don't have to live there. Recognize that it is a ploy of the enemy to blind you to everything but your pain. And what happens at that point is that your pain becomes all-consuming. It becomes bigger than you can manage. Get involved in the lives of other people. Stay focused on who God is, and and how big He is. And praise is really the freeing key to everything, to getting new perspective. Because as you praise God, as you see the things in your life that you tangibly can be thankful for, and then you can even be thankful in the very difficulty you're struggling through, not because you love it, not because you choose it, but because you know the God who is walking you through this. So you can already say, thank you, Father, for what you're doing that I don't see. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing through this that you couldn't do any other way. Thank you, Father, for the rich, new, deep understanding you're building into me that I couldn't get any other way. Praise and thanksgiving, Susie, might be the biggest key to moving off of that place where you are just consumed with nothing but your problem.
Well, I know it's changed everything for me when I hit those times to put on music and to sing and even twirl around my house. And if you're a dude, that might not be as cool. I'm just saying. Or it might, as she says. But I know Jennifer is a prayer. I love to pray. If you're listening today and you're just stuck and you need to get unstuck and you need a couple of friends to pray with you, we would love to do that. So give us a call. You can call anonymously and you don't have to give details. You can just say, I'm stuck or I'm frustrated or I'm angry, whatever that is. Help us out. Let us stand with you. 877-933-2484. Jennifer, can you give an example maybe of a time in your life? And again, you don't have to give details either, but when you just pressed in, pressed on, prayed about something and just felt weary and well-doing and wondering why you weren't seeing the breakthrough, and then just how you navigated that time.
Yeah. We mentioned earlier that I lost my husband to brain cancer. I have 3 sons. My youngest son, the hardest thing for me, Susie, in that the hardest thing was my son's grief, because you can't do anything about it. They're just going to have to do it, and you're just going to have to watch them grieve. And the year following my husband's death, my younger son had just a particularly difficult year, just one of those years where everything that could go wrong went wrong, everything that could disappoint disappointed. And I'm saying to God, really, could you not have put that off to another time? And that was so difficult for me. And the Lord one day showed me, he says to me, now look, Jennifer, I want you to look how this looks, how you're doing this. And I saw this picture of myself with my son, and I'm going to call him my little boy, but he's a big old football player, but tucked behind me, and I've got my arms out, and I'm saying to God, don't you hurt him. And the Lord says, now do you see where you are? You're right between me and him. Mm-hmm. What if when you get in that scenario, instead of standing there and saying and shaking your finger at me and saying stop hurting him, what if you just bow? And then I have direct access to him. So I spent a lot of time bowed. And it's always going to take some time passing for you to see how everything's going to play out. You're not going to see it right in the middle, but years have passed. And I see a particular character in that son that I know was forged in that horrible year. And that horrible year is over. Pain doesn't last forever. That horrible year is over, and years have passed, and the fruits of that horrible year are so obvious to me.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that story. Really appreciate it. I issued the invitation that if you need prayer, we'd love to stand with you. Sometimes it just takes a few friends to help get you unstuck. 877-933-2484. Colleen's calling in from Lakeville, needs some prayer today. Colleen, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. How can we pray for you today?
You know, just my husband has lived and works out of town, like 2 hours away from us for the last about 3 years now. And I've got two teenage sons and a young daughter. And just I see what's happening in our family, and just we're struggling. I'm struggling to get through it all sometimes. So, I mean, no, it really struck me when you were saying it's so easy to get wrapped up in our own things. And it is so easy for me to do that to the point where I don't tell people what's going on, because I have to have my own little pity party, which, by the way, no one ever comes to.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So it doesn't matter who I invite, no one comes. Mm. So, and they won't stay long if they do.
Right.
So I guess, yeah, it struck me that I really need to get out of where I'm at right now and start focusing on what God needs me to do in our lives.
And Colleen, you probably feel a bit like a single parent if your hubby's gone and Jennifer raised three sons without her hubby. Wonder, do you want to say a word to Colleen, Jennifer, before we pray?
Yeah, Colleen, I want to say, here is another thing. Now, I don't know if I can say this so that it makes sense, but here's what the Lord has told me over the years. If on this day, having everything the way you want it on this day would be the better thing, then that's what I would have provided. So you have got to trust me that on this day, I'm working out something that you can't see. But what you're going through is difficult. So we don't want to minimize that or pretend that it's not. Mm-hmm. But God is still in charge of it somehow. He is doing something in this that sometime when it all plays out, you're going to see. That's where you have to know what you can't see. So I would love to pray for you right now.
Thank you.
Father, I bring this situation to you in the strong name of Jesus, and we just confess together that we know that you are Lord. We know that you are sovereign every minute of every day. We know that you have Colleen's two teenage sons in mind. You are engineering something in their lives that will be produced through this stressful time that will show up in their adulthood in ways that we can't yet imagine. And Father, we're just asking you to intervene and correct the situation as you see fit in your time and in your way. And meanwhile, we are trusting that you are doing things beyond our imagination that will someday be apparent to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, thank you.
Colleen, thanks for calling. And you're going to get a copy of Jennifer's book, Live a Praying Life in Adversity. I think that will be a great help. God bless you. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, and if we can stand with you, we'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. What are some of the common misunderstandings about prayer? Because one statement that stood out to me in your book is you said, prayer will work as God intends for it to work when it becomes what God intends for it to be. What does he not intend it to be?
Giving him instructions and marching orders and giving your orders at the divine warehouse and expecting them to be fulfilled in a timely manner. Mm. It's not just saying words at God. It is living in a relationship with him. And we're not going to get all that God intends for prayer to bring into our lives when we're just using it as a way to try to get our way with God. It is a continual 24-hour, all-the-time relationship. It is an all-in relationship. He is all in for you, and he wants you to be all in for him, and that is going to change everything. Mm. And And Susie, let's go back to what we were talking about obedience real quickly. In the book, you're going to look at the part that obedience plays in bringing all of God's provision into your circumstances. You're going to look at Hebrews 11, where God points out, here's how faith looks. And every time that God begins to describe faith and say, here's what it looks in real time, never does he say how someone felt or what their theology was or what their emotions were. It was what they did because God told them to do it. By faith, Abel brought. By faith, Noah built. By faith, Abraham obeyed. And on it goes. So it shows this continual way that God works, and it is an unbroken pattern that he is speaking to you in obedience. A small, just one step. That's all it is, just one step. And you take that step, and it opens up the heavens. The power and provision of God meets you there. And so when we're talking about obedience, opening the way for God to move into your life, everything he wants there. Probably, right now, if you're a listener, probably right now it's just one little thing. You may even be able to look at that one little thing and say to yourself, oh, that's, you know, big deal. Nobody's even going to know if I do that or not, or that can't be that big a deal. Just the one obedience. And you'll see it in the book that it is God's, again, unbroken pattern. Obedience to the present voice of God, the release of power and provision.
I have seen that in my life over and over again. I'm a woman who spends time in the Word. I'm a woman who prays. When people say, what's your quote-unquote secret, as if there is one, it's no secret. It's in Scripture. But I always go to obedience. I feel like I have stepped into something richer and deeper in the Lord every time I obey him, especially when it doesn't suit me, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sharon, go ahead. I'm sorry. Sharon's calling in from Cedar Falls. I want to make sure we pray for her before the break. Sharon,
okay.
Welcome. How can we stand with you?
My brother lost his wife. It was 2 years ago in June, and then my mother passed away in November. It'll be 2 years in November. Mm. He has nothing to do with us, and my nephew's going to be a senior in school, this high school this year, and we would just love to be reconciled with the family.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sharon. Well, Jennifer, do you mind praying for Sharon?
Yes. And, Father, I'm bringing Sharon to you that you have placed into her heart your very own kind of desires to be in harmony and unity in relationship with her brother. And, Father, we know that the arguments we could never make to him, the points we could never score with him, you know exactly where in his heart and where in his mind is the resistance. And, Father, would you just let your Holy Spirit be being poured out right there, right now? And, Father, we're asking that you would accomplish something in this situation that no human can manufacture. And we're standing together to ask for a reconciliation in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sharon, for the call, and you will get a copy of Jennifer's book. Talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean, I'm talking about prayer. We've got lots of other questions to answer. We'd also love to stand with you if you need prayer. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. More with Jennifer Kennedy Dean in just a moment.
It's important to pray in tough times because when we do pray, we're not only just understanding what's going on in our own lives, but we're also communicating with a God who cares about us and wants the best for us in those times as well. It's also important to not only just pray in the hard times, but also in the good times as well, because we're not only just praying just to pray, but we're also praying to glorify God in those good and bad times as well.
You're the reason we're here.
That's song by my friend Meredith Andrews, Open Up the Heavens. Love it. Talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean today about praying through adversity. And that's especially the time when we need to remember who we are, whose we are, how God feels about us. That is, as she says, we've got to remember, we've got to know what we cannot see. So there needs to be things we know about God. And she says eventually our emotions will learn to rest on those truths, even though our eyes don't see the breakthrough yet. I've also invited you to call if we can pray for you. So we've got a couple calls coming in, Jennifer. Heidi's calling in from Eden Prairie and needs prayer today. Heidi, welcome.
Hi.
How can we pray for you today?
I have been underemployed for like the last 7 years, and I'm constantly looking for a job, and I just need to have patience. I mean, I pray to God, and I know I need patience throughout this thing, and it's real hard for me to keep it. And plus, I need to get my mind off myself, my problems. I seem to have a real negative outlook a lot of times, and I just would like to get my mind off that.
Bless you.
I guess it's praying for patience.
Heidi, wow. You know, just that you can even say that after such a long valley. Jennifer, I wonder if you want to say anything to Heidi before we pray.
You know, I think you've got the key right now is to just see it differently.
Yeah.
If I wish I could just give you some magic words and say, now, when you say these magic words, it will all change. But I don't got that. But I know that God is strategic in what he's doing in your life. And he doesn't have any plans for you that are less than great. And he is not, you know, sometimes we get under this feeling he is not punishing you. He's not trying to see about your burden-bearing prowess. He's not testing you. He is loving you. And when this all unfolds, you will see that. Know what you can't see.
Mm. So would you mind praying? That's a beautiful word. Would you pray for Heidi?
Yeah. Father, here is our sister Heidi. I trust that you brought her to us right now in this conversation because you have a word to speak deep into her heart that will transform the way she is able to walk through this adversity. We choose to trust. We choose to know that you are in charge, that what you are doing is good, that it is for a future and a hope. And, Father, I just ask that you would continually pull Heidi's back to that heart, back to that reality. Every time it begins to swing toward the negative, that you would just, like a magnet, just pull it back to the reality that this is going to turn out to be a good, profitable, blessing thing in her life.
Mm-hmm.
We trust that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Lord. And I do pray you'd open up Heidi's eyes to all the ways you're moving in her life in ways that would just give her joy and strength. God bless you, Heidi. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
God bless you, dear. If you don't mind, Jennifer, we've got another couple here calling in. Lois is calling in from Roseville, needs prayer. Lois, welcome.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm asking prayer for my son who started his own business a year ago, and he's struggling with time management, overcommitment, employee turnover, and just learning to trust God through the trials, and he struggles some with depression when he gets overloaded.
Mm-hmm. And it's so hard, Lois, when it's your son. It's like your heart is walking around on the outside of your body, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And he lost his father 5 years ago, and so he misses not having a dad to bring us, you know, questions to. But I encourage him to take everything to God, and I'd like to ask prayer for him today. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And Jennifer, we are working you hard today, but do you mind praying for Lois?
Yes. Father, Lois, I've been exactly where she is, watching my sons have to do things that they thought they might have their father with them. And so I just have such great compassion for her right now. And as she watches her son have to walk a difficult road, but we know that you have him in your hands, that you have his good in mind. And Father, we know that you can impart to him wisdom and faith and understanding, and would you do that? We ask that you would prosper his business. We ask that you would bring him to a fullness of success, but mostly we ask that you would just own his heart completely. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus.
That's
amen.
Amen. We're going to take one more call. Jamie's calling in from St. Paul, needs prayer today. Jamie, welcome.
Hello. Good afternoon, ladies. How are you doing?
We're doing great. How can we pray for you today?
It's been a long battle, probably 3.5 years of estranged marriage. And you know, obviously God has done a number in me and changed me a lot. And unfortunately, you know, my wife is still not convinced. And so we're basically one meeting away from signing papers. Mm. It's been a long battle. And so I am just holding on to a thread. And
wow. I'm so sorry.
Just,
that's hard.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah.
Do you want to, Jennifer, do you have anything to say to Jamie? We can both pray.
I'd just like to pray for him.
Yeah.
So, Father, just we bring Jamie to you. His broken heart, his tired spirit, and we know that you know everything in advance and have prepared for it in advance. That there is not one thing that is outside of your control, even if other people in our lives are making wrong choices, that does not interfere with how perfectly you can manage our lives. And so, Father, we know that Jamie is in your hands and that you will be his great comfort, that you will be his great strength, and again, that you are doing something beyond what we can see and understand, and you are doing something that is good and profitable for Jamie. And we just want to rest our emotions on the reality of you, not in the muck and the mire of the circumstances. So we just thank you, Father, that you are all-powerful, completely sovereign, and love Jamie absolutely. In Jesus' name, amen.
And, Father, I just bring Jamie before you, too, and I ask you, God, to just restore his soul. I pray you'd lead him by still waters and pour strength into him again. And, Father, put people in his wife's life to speak truth, to minister healing. I pray that you would awaken her heart and the wall that maybe is built would come down. And, Lord, I pray that you would turn what that enemy has meant for evil, turn it for good, Lord. I pray for restoration. I pray for reconciliation. I pray that you would do for Jamie what only you can do, and we ask you to intervene in this situation now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, ladies.
God bless you, sir. Thanks for calling in. You know, people are hurting, and that's why the such an important book, Jennifer, about praying in adversity. And you touched on this with one of our calls. I think it was Heidi. I can't remember which one, but you touched on it in the book as well, that when you're walking through adversity, you can tend to think someone's punishing or that God is punishing you. Give God's heart for the person who's walking through adversity, even if it's adversity they brought on themselves.
Yes.
Give God's perspective on our hearts.
He is not punishing you. If he had to punish you, then he'd be saying, gosh, the cross didn't quite do the job. And there are things we bring on ourselves, almost everything in some way. We've brought it on ourselves through some decision. You do not get the full consequences of every wrong choice you make. God filters them so that the only thing that ever reaches you is going to turn out for your good. It just is. I know it's impossible to think that at some of the things you're looking at right now, but that is just the case. He's not testing you. He's not punishing you. He's not trying to see just how much burden he can get on your shoulders. Somehow, what he has allowed into your life is because he loves you.
Jennifer, this has been great, and it's been much too long. We let too much time pass before we had you on, so you got to come back soon again.
Okay.
But as you wrap up, Jennifer, would you pray for our listeners, every one of us, that we would have a fresh awakening in our prayer life?
Yeah. Father, everyone that you have caused to be listening and so be together in heart right at this moment, would you show us things we didn't know before we called to you? Would you cause us to see the deep things of your spirit and see our lives the way you see them? And most of all, can we just see you high and lifted up in the name of Jesus? Amen.
Mm. Jennifer, thank you for your time today. We so enjoy talking with you.
Thanks, Susie.
Mm. Title of her book again is Live a Praying Life in Adversity.
Open up the heavens. We want to see it. Your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky.
Listening to Live the Promise, I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show on our website, our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. I'm traveling to Texas tomorrow, so we've got some recorded shows in, and they are powerful. Talking to Craig Mambuzek first hour tomorrow, Andy Crouch second hour. So do tune in. I won't be here live, but we've got some great programming for you, and I'll meet you back here when I get back, okay? Have a blessed afternoon.